This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com, your number one source for Android smartphone accessories. To save 10% on your entire order, enter code AC10 at checkout. Orders over $50 ship free, and international shipping is available. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 207 for Thursday and Friday. The hell, we'll do both days. October 16th or 17th, 2014. Welcome to the show. We're just going to get straight to it. It's a huge day. It's a big week. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm also a little larger than I'd like to be. No response at all from the guys.
Your beard is looking a bit larger.
Thank you. That's coming along nicely.
Good save there, Andrew.
You're like between me and Jerry at this point.
We got Andrew. We got Alex, we got Jerry, and basically we're just going to talk for the next hour and change because you know we're going to go long. We've got tons of Android stuff.
A lot of change on the Android
hour. A lot of change. So much going on. So let's start with a new iPad, shall we?
That threw me for a loop, but that was funny as heck.
See, I got to keep you on your toes. I don't know. It's a new iPad. It's thinner. Awesome.
Mini 3 was kind of weird. Like they were just like, well, here's a new Mini, and it's also out. But
and they're then we're also like bad... rename the last one Mini 2, and then just not talk about it.
They're getting bad Android type names now because iPad Air Mini 2, 4G LTE. Anyway, so yeah, Android stuff. Where do you guys want to start? We'll just throw it out there. We've got Android 5.0 Lollipop is official, sort of. You can't get it yet.
And they're not really going to tell you much about it. But
so we've got that. We've got the new Nexus 6, which we knew was coming. We've got the new Nexus 9 from HTC. And that's sort of, and the Nexus Player. I keep forgetting it, and then I keep trying to call it the Galaxy Player, because there was the Galaxy Player way back when.
You hush your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think of any word, pretty much, and stick Galaxy in front of it, and it was a phone at some point.
There's a pretty good chance that it will have been a Samsung device, yeah. Let's start with Android 5.0. I just need to very humbly say I was right. I think Jerry was right, too. That was our guest, Lollipop.
I might have been right.
So that's it. We can end the podcast now. Jerry and I were right.
I expect my trophy in the mail. Done.
Well, we should totally start doing that. Next year we're doing that. Whoever, like, everyone has to guess something. Whoever wins gets a trophy.
Can I still cheat and not guess until I already know?
Yeah, that's just giving Jerry a trophy every year.
I got it right. That makes sense. I want a trophy.
This year you get the trophy.
So we didn't, like, learn. I mean, we learned the nickname, which I was still pretty convinced, even though I kind of wuss out a little bit when it's time to make a call. But, I mean, we didn't learn much more beyond the name and the number, which Google, of course, was hinting at the number.
I mean, it's everything that we knew before as Android L now is 5 Lollipop. I mean, we saw news stories this week, like Android Lollipop will have this feature that was announced at I/O for L, and it's like, yes, because it's the same thing.
Well, it's
new and it's old all at the same time.
That comes along with, you know, we got a developer preview, so we have a good idea of what the user-facing stuff is going to be.
Exactly, because... and we have another developer preview build coming up tomorrow, which hopefully will show us a bit more stuff.
And that's kind of like all we have at this point. I mean, the new SDK is coming tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting to see code push until devices are ready. What did they give us an exact date on the devices, or just early November?
Somewhere.
T-Mobile gave a date.
There was something like the Nexus 9 was going to be up pre-order tomorrow, mm-hmm. and then on sale. I remember November 3rd is a shipping date or a pre-order date for one of them, but. T-Mobile said Nexus 6 was like November 10th or something like that for them.
I'm trying to find it.
It's so we're still on behalf of everyone outside of the US, we still don't really have dates or availability or pricing or carriers for anyone internationally yet, which is a little bit weird considering last year we had the Nexus 5 and it's like, well, here it is. You can go buy it tomorrow pretty much everywhere.
No phone for you.
Yeah. I'm just thinking Motorola has been kind of hit and miss in Europe for the past 2 years. They're getting better, but it's... it still makes me nervous to think that maybe the UK isn't going to be in the first push of countries. We're going to be waiting, but we'll see. It's a Nexus. Hopefully, right. We'll be in the first wave.
The interesting thing is, I mean, either way, we're, you know, at least a full 2 weeks away from kind of knowing for sure when these will be hitting people's doors. And we're talking at least in the US of a retail push with all the carriers and Best Buy and Google Play. And we kind of don't know what the street dates for all those will be.
All right, so we'll get to the devices in a second. I wanted to focus on what we know about the software at this point. And really, I mean, nothing's changed from yesterday other than the number and the nickname, right? Still don't have, like, a final list of APIs. Just everything we knew was in the preview.
We know there are over 5,000 of them.
Right. There's always a lot of APIs. I mean, that number means nothing to me. It's not like I'm going to be using 5,000 new things.
That number means everything to you. The 5,000 new APIs will allow developers that build apps to do things. You know, when you're using an app and you say, damn, I wish it would do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now.
Almost like I set you up for that. Huh?
Yeah, that empowers the developers. And whether you like it or not, a smartphone is all about the apps.
Right. So like I said, it's a very important number.
It is. But we don't see it. We don't see any benefit ourselves. That's
what I meant.
That's the problem.
I tell you, the one I'm still really waiting on is Android Fit, especially as we're all wearing these watches all the time now and is counting steps but not really doing anything with them. I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, software-wise, I know people saw things, and, you know, oh, there's a new messaging app. Well, yeah, there are lots of new apps coming. I mean,
the Messenger app, we want to jump in that for a second. The fact there is, it's still, they kind of rolled back on the decision just to go with Hangouts, and I think Hangouts, since the Nexus 5, replaced the stock Android messaging app. So the fact that they it's another sort of piece of the complete mess, which is messaging in Android in general and stock Android in particular, right? We have moving away from the stock Android Messenger app, and actually they brought it back in Android One, and they're getting rid of it now, and they have a separate app that looks maybe different but has a different icon. It's just kind
of... Right, we don't know if that's a separate app from Hangouts or if it's a general app that also plugs into Hangouts and plugs into other things. It's a different icon, and we saw
supposedly it's a different app.
Well, which makes sense.
Except, well, does it?
Because
moving away from default SMS apps, right?
But Google still needs to provide a complete operating system that's free and open source. This tells me that they cared and that they worked on the messaging app because they knew it sucked.
Well, it's one thing to work on a messaging app and to release it in AOSP. It's another thing to have it in...
On the phone, correct.
On the phone and in the press render, which is where people are seeing it.
Maybe they like it so much they threw it on there. They're human. Maybe they're just proud of their work. Or maybe this will really mess with Alex's head.
It's going to be an SMS app to blow my mind.
Just got word that Jeff Gordon from ACC is listening into the podcast. Hi, Jeff. How goes it?
Hi, Jeff.
So as long as we're name-dropping Jeff and HTC, let's launch into the Nexus 9. For me, that's kind of the more exciting of the mobile devices, and I'm also very excited about the Nexus.
And you're not just saying that because Jeff's listening.
I am absolutely saying that because, no, I mean, it's a couple things, right? One, it's HTC doing tablets again. That's cool to see.
Yes.
Two, it's HTC back in the Nexus line, which I think is important. But even more so, this is the first real 64-bit device, which I know everybody is looking forward to because it's going to make everything twice as fast. Right, Jerry?
No. Stop. It's a very good thing, and it's from two companies that I'm really glad to see it from. Let's leave it there and expect something on the blog over the weekend that explains a little more. I'll try, but it's a good thing.
Let's recap what's inside this thing, because that's kind of the big deal as well. Or let's not.
We're just waiting for you.
No, go ahead, because you are way more familiar with it than I am.
It's the NVIDIA TK1, the 64-bit version, which, for the nerds out there, that means it has two Denver CPU cores, and pretty much the same Kepler GPU as you see on your desktop. It is a beast, guys. I've messed with it a little bit. There are some drawbacks for having a CPU that big and that fast. It gets a little hotter, uses a little bit more juice. Hopefully, you know, the people that built the thing knew that, and we'll have some sort of solution to make it so it doesn't burn through your legs and only last an hour. But that opens up, you know, now any weird glitches, bugs, and slowdowns are going to be software-based, and those are always easier to fix than hardware. Because it's 64-bit, and that means more than just you can use more than 4 gigs of RAM, there are a lot of benefits, and like I said, we went over a few of them, and I'll try again. It's very, you know, future-proof. There is nothing that Google is going to be able to show you in the next 2 or 3 years that isn't going to run well on this tablet. I'm excited.
How RAM sensitive is this? Because I know everybody's needs 3 gigabytes of RAM now. I mean, this only has 2 gigabytes. Is that going to be a big a deal? Or I kind of get the feeling that everybody's made a little too much out of having that extra gigabyte.
Everybody that worries about that extra gigabyte needs to go buy a Moto G and see how Android can run with just 1 gigabyte and a lower class CPU and GPU. It's not the hardware, all of it.
And I think a lot of people are worrying about the fact that if it has 2 gigs, the Nexus 6 has 3 gigs, but that's a very, very different device, right? Running a very, very different platform, right?
Right. The Nexus 6 is going to need more RAM just the way the GPU is laid out on the die.
As long as we're talking about things on dies and things not on dies, there is an LTE version, but this is kind of interesting. It's using a Qualcomm modem, and it's not actually on the TK1.
Right.
System. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen something. In fact, the last time I remember seeing, it's been a while since we've seen, you know, a Tegra-based SoC really running on anything production, right?
So I think you're talking about it's been a while since we've seen an off-die modem. I think Samsung did that a while back with some of theirs. They had Exynos plus a Qualcomm modem. I think they were doing that with the weird European LTE edition of the Note 3 and the GS3. The Note 2 and the GS3, rather. So
that wasn't terrible
in terms of battery life, was it, really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, the reason I bring it up is because last time we saw it was on, like, I think it was on the 1X.
Yes.
And that just, and this is a whole other generation. I completely understand that. But I get that people are going to think back to that and be like, ooh, I don't know, that was NVIDIA and Qualcomm stuff mashed together, and it didn't work out well.
But the 1X had, what, a 1,900 milliamp hour battery, and this thing has, what, like over 9,000 or something?
No, it's, I got it sitting right here in front of me.
Like 6,900 or something.
6,700 milliamp hour battery, yeah. So, night and day in terms of generations, in terms of application, you know, you're talking tablet versus phone, night and day in terms of software. But I did just want to bring that up in case anyone was worried about it. Going down to other specs, as long as I'm looking at them here. In fact, let me move them over here. 8.9-inch IPS LCD display, 4x3 aspect ratio. So that's a change. Yeah. I've seen people gnashing their teeth over that. I have a feeling I'm going to be okay with it, I think.
Plug your ears, Jeff. I hate it.
Yeah?
I hate the iPad mini. I absolutely hate it. Most of what I do on a tablet involves a 1080p movie in landscape, and you show me black bars in a letterbox or make me zoom out and things get grainy, you have failed.
Do we know how they're going to handle that yet? I don't think we've seen.
I mean, there's only one way they can handle it. It's the same way Apple handles it.
And unless
this is like a stretchable tablet or something, it's going to be stuck in the ratio that it ships in, or you're going to have black bars, or you're going to have to zoom in. I think probably has more to do with apps and with other kinds of content than video. I mean, video is relatively easy to get around. It's probably better to look at aspect ratio, paper type stuff in the aspect ratio that you normally get on a piece of paper, which is closer to a 4:3 kind of setup. Apple's done that very well, and that's obviously what the idea is with this new tablet.
As I'm going down the spec list, so 2048 by 1536, if you're worried about that, it does have Gorilla Glass 3. Does have Double Tap to Wake.
That's kind of interesting. I want to jump in there because we don't really know whether that's an Android thing or whether that's a Nexus 9 thing, do we?
I thought I saw somebody say it was an Android thing.
If the hardware can support it, I think is how they put that.
Do we know if the 6 has it?
I was just looking. I don't see it listed there. Which would kind of make sense, maybe. I don't know. It's not a huge device. 154 millimeters by 228 by almost 8 thick. So that's not bad. And, you know, it's an HTC device, and you can tell just even in the renders that it's a pretty slick-looking thing.
So, and, of course, front-facing speakers as well.
Yeah, I'm real curious to hear those, because that makes such a difference when you're playing games. That was, you know, the one big drawback in the Nexus 7, especially when you, you know, switch to something like the NVIDIA Shield tablet or even the Nexus 10. Those front-facing, you know, speakers make a big difference when you're watching movies and playing games. Cameras, 8 megapixel on the back, f2.4 autofocus LED flash, 1.6 megapixel in the front. You know, that's another one of those times, especially given HTC's recent shift for front-facing cameras, that I really kind of want them to switch it. I don't care about taking pictures with a tablet on the back.
I don't care about having a rear camera at all on a
tablet.
Well,
yeah, but
time you're in a crowd and you see all those iPads up in the air, a lot of people do care about
taking pictures. I know, but I'm telling them they're wrong.
Because Tim Cook told them.
Something happened
today. Yeah.
Better or worse, that's what people do.
16 gigabyte and 32 gigabyte versions for the Wi-Fi. The LTE version will only have 32 gigabytes available. For what it's worth, I'm absolutely going with 32 gigabytes.
It's just like the Nexus 7.
You're buying an LTE version tomorrow, right?
What's that?
Just say yes. Say yes. Okay. Sweet. No, I'm definitely LTE 32 gigabytes.
What is that noise? Is that Jerry?
Oh, are you hearing my construction across the way, probably?
Oh, that might be it. Wow.
They're drilling, like, 75-foot deep holes in the ground and then putting...
Throw the Kia Cera Hydro in one.
I'll go ask them.
We talked about the CPU. We talked about the RAM. 802.11ac for Wi-Fi, NFC and Bluetooth 4.1. Nothing you wouldn't expect. LTE, what else? Everything else looks pretty normal.
We want to talk about the keyboard cover because I have a gut feeling that's going to be very important with Android L.
Yes. It's, you know, a pretty slick-looking keyboard cover. It's got, what, 5 rows, dedicated number row with, you know, secondary buttons on there.
It's the same layout as the Google keyboard software keyboard is.
Minus the mic button. They have a...
Right.
Emoji.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm telling Jerry to either turn his mic up or down, but now he's cutting in and out, so maybe turn it back up. My fault.
How's that?
Yeah, it's a little better. I like the look of this a lot. I really do. And I'm ready for a new tablet. I think I said that a couple weeks ago.
And I you know, Google has been saying for a while that they really want to get into the enterprise. And now we have a device that it's the right size to work on spreadsheets, the right aspect ratio to work on spreadsheets, and it comes with a keyboard. I'm really excited to see some of the software changes that may be coming to accommodate all this.
I'm moderately interested in it just from that aspect. I realize that if you're going to go with a keyboard and something a little more productivity-focused, you need to go upwards of 9 inches. For everything that doesn't require a keyboard, I'm more leaning towards liking the Nexus 7 size still. I mean, it's still, you know, 8.9, 9, 9.5 inches starts to be where it's kind of a hassle to deal with it. You're not holding it in one hand comfortably and things like that.
We're going to have
the Nexus 7, just briefly, that if you go on the Nexus site now, that isn't actually listed anymore. They're keeping the Nexus 5 around. They, it seems, are not keeping the Nexus 7 around.
It's a shame.
But yeah. It is as surprising, I think.
Maybe it's a question of scale. They can't afford to have them built anymore.
I mean, and particularly considering the price deltas, we're talking about a starting $399 on the Nexus 9, but we were at $229 before on the Nexus 7. I mean, I really think that those two could live simultaneously, you know, at least for another 6 or 9 months. You know, by all accounts, the Nexus 7 is still selling at a pretty good clip, even, you know, the last few months.
Definitely.
So I'm at these HTC meetings last week. We talked about it a little bit on the podcast last week. And I'm sitting next to Matt Miller from ZDNet, big Microsoft fan. Rafe Blanford, who, you know, if you know Rafe is awesome. You know, even bigger Microsoft / Nokia fan on the other side of Matt. They're both using Surfaces. And I don't know if you call them tablets or just Surfaces, whatever. In fact, we'll need to get Dan on a podcast maybe, and we'll all talk about this some more. But they were only, like, that's all they brought. They brought a Surface. They brought the keyboard cover thing, and that was it. No other computer. Even with what, I'd say what little we know about Lollipop at this point, I'm going to have to stop calling it Android L in my head. Do you think that it's up there to the point where this can be your only device, where you won't have to throw a laptop in your bag? And now, no. Not counting us, because we're weird. We have these jobs. We have to do video and all that crap.
No, I mean, the Surface, I think, may be a bad example because it's not a Windows phone tablet. It's an actual Windows laptop that's just a tablet that you attach a keyboard to. So, you know, if you had told me they were there with the Surface RT and that's all they used, that would have impressed me. But if they had a Surface, they might as well have just had a ThinkPad. But I think it's an idea that Microsoft is going to get right in the very near future if they can pull off their unified platform thing. And Android has to be moving that direction. They have to.
And I think the awkward spot for...
Go ahead, Alex. No, that's all you.
I'll say the awkward spot for Android is Windows is very strong in these sort of convertible devices right now, whereas with Android, you have Chrome OS, which is kind of slowly becoming more Androidified, if you like, with Android apps eventually running on there. But then you have Android tablets, which still kind of aren't really plugging the productivity gap that you would expect heading towards a full-featured laptop. So it's definitely something that I don't know how that gap is going to be bridged, really. It's something that maybe the mythical joining of Android and Chrome OS might achieve, but I don't think that's, if it is ever going to happen, that's not certainly not something that's going to happen anytime soon.
And we're talking about a Surface, you know, going back to the Surface comparison, we're talking about a $1,300 machine with the Surface Pro 3, including the keyboard, the Core i5 and 4 gigs of RAM, and like Jerry said, full-on Windows 8.1. I mean, it's a completely different class than a $400 Nexus 9 and a keyboard cover.
But it's the right way to do things. Microsoft, when they do things right, I really want to give them credit. Being able to use that as a tablet and it feels and acts like a tablet, once you open an application, you know, you don't know that you're on a full-blown Windows build designed for a mouse as long as the application works great with the touchscreen. That's one day where I hope Chrome and Android can get together and be half as productive.
Just flipping back through. Oh, look at this right in front of me. Okay, 16 gigabyte, $399. 32 is $479. Woo! And the LT model is $600.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff said black only for the LTE model as well, so you don't get sand or white.
Yeah, that sand looks nice.
See, and the white one is just going to look like sand after 2 weeks anyways.
I'm going to buy a 16 gig sand one and the LTE one and get the tools out.
Oh, good luck with that. Available in stores on the 3rd of November, it says.
That's for my November 3rd date.
Yeah, LTE and the sand color will be available later this year. Nexus 9 will be available in 29 countries over the coming weeks. It'll be available on Google Play, Amazon, Best Buy, GameStop, Office Depot, Office Max, QVC, Radio Shack, Staples, and Walmart. So,
about carriers?
That's the best news, what you just said, Phil. Yes. All those places it's available to buy.
And the Nexus 7 was getting to that stage where you could pretty much just go in anywhere and pick one up.
And you probably still will be able to for a while.
Yeah, I know the last time that I went and talked to T-Mobile folks, they said that the Nexus 7 LTE sells incredibly well in T-Mobile stores as, you know, they just have them stacked up because everybody wants a cheap tablet and a cheap way to toss it on their plan. And I'm not sure if the Nexus 9 at, you know, what did you say, $600 for the LTE model is going to be like that.
Maybe we're sort of writing off the N7 prematurely. I mean, the fact that it's not on the Nexus site anymore, maybe that doesn't necessarily mean that it's dead and buried just yet.
There are a lot still out there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, what we haven't talked about really is the updates to L. I'm going to call it L for a while. I don't care.
It still happens.
Yeah, Nexus 7.13, Nexus 7.2012 is going to get it.
Nexus 4 is going to get it. There was some drama over that briefly, but it is going to get it.
Nexus 4, Nexus 5, all the Google Play Edition devices.
Do we say Nexus 10?
Well, and I want to take a good on Google for the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 12. They promised 2 years, and those devices just slightly fall outside the two-year window, and they could have just said no.
I mean, the Nexus 7 2012 is the surprising one, because we all know, you know, the stories of some Tegra 3 devices didn't make the cut for KitKat, let alone Lollipop. So kind of a big deal that, that, you know, we have a Tegra 3 device that is now running, is going to be running 5.0.
So that, I think, is the tablet stuff. Should we switch to Nexus 6?
If we have to.
Or should we take a break and then talk Nexus 6?
Better take
we do some Q&A? Let's do some Q&A first. How about that?
Sure thing.
I'm going to try to stick these to tablet-type stuff. Jerry has expressed some concern that certain Android features might be 64-bit only in a year or two. For those of us who don't understand such things so well, can he be a little more specific about that?
Yes. And this is just Jerry talking. This is just me. I could be dead wrong, but I worry about this kind of stuff. I can imagine Google standing up on stage and showing us Android M and saying, look at this really cool freaking thing it can do. That's amazing. And when your device updates, it'll come to you as long as your hardware supports it. And what that secretly means is it needs the increased bandwidth inside the chip that a 64-bit new ARM design can give, and your 32-bit phone will not be able to do it. That has me worried, because Google likes to push the edge. Google likes to just go there and do things, even if they're not sure it'll work out well. And that's the kind of company that's going to bring out features that require the increased bandwidth and speed that comes with 64-bit. And I just don't want to be left out after I've spent, you know, $700 on a Nexus phone. I don't want them to tell me that the next version of the operating system has stuff that I won't get. That'll feel like an Apple event.
Well, the transition period has to happen at some point, right? And there's always going to be somebody who just bought their phone, or, you know, Samsung just announced their phone 3 months before Google says that that's going to happen.
Correct. That has to happen. That has to happen someday. You know, they have to say, look, if your phone doesn't have this, it's just not going to be able to do it. We're sorry. And hopefully I'm wrong, and Google realizes that we don't want to do that to our customers, and everybody's going to have time to have updated to something with a little bit more modern hardware before Google forces you to have it to get great features.
Well, it happened on a lower scale with things like Bluetooth 3 versus Bluetooth 4, doing low energy stuff, different sensors in the phone as far as, you know, better gyroscopes and barometers and stuff like that. But obviously, 32 versus 64-bit might end up being a slightly bigger deal than that.
Right, I'm more concerned with, I'll say it, Samsung, than I am Google, because Samsung, whether you like it or not, they can do features. They know how to put more features than you would ever think of into their phones. And I hate to think that the Note 4 won't get Android M TouchWiz because it doesn't have the right CPU.
Right.
I mean, that's on Samsung as much as Google, if that happens.
Yeah.
I have a question for Andrew and Alex. Are you guys old enough to remember the PC days when they started making the leap from 16 to 32?
I can't say that I remember that.
Man! 32 to 64, not the
old one. I remember, like, I very much could have used PCs that were 16, but I could not tell you when that transition happened.
I remember having a separate 32-bit browser for AOL, and oh, you guys are kids. Wow.
But okay, so you know what a mess that was.
Right.
And that's, there's no way to get around that. I mean, it's gotten better.
I don't remember it being a huge deal. You just had to, okay, this is a 32-bit computer. I need the 32-bit version, and just had to make sure I downloaded the right thing. Now, you know, it's a little different these days. But
you looked at the 32-bit version and how bad it sucked compared to the 64-bit version, and that's when it became a problem for me.
This was like 1993. Everything sucked back then.
Okay.
Here's a good question from Murat. Do you think it's worth buying a Nexus 9 when the NVIDIA Shield tablet exists with the same internals and it's $100 less?
And it's not even close to the same internals.
It's not. Just because it says Tegra K1 doesn't mean it's the same.
All right, what's the difference?
32 and 64-bit, different CPU cores, different GPU, everything's different, different ARM spec, it's different.
That still doesn't, I mean, there is a price difference, there's a size difference, there are other things that distinguish them other than just looking at the CPU.
And I don't get me wrong, the TK1 that's in the NVIDIA Shield tablet. That thing's a little beast, too. I've got a board here and actually run a desktop computer on it. And it's a great little CPU, but it's not in the same class as the bigger one we're seeing in the 9.
Cesar, I'm going to assume it's Cesar and not Caesar. I like Cesar better. Nexus 9, why do you think they went 4-3 for the aspect ratio?
Because they hate me.
Oh!
I don't know.
Well, Jerry, do you think it... You think it plays into that productivity angle with the keyboard that you're saying? 16.9 doesn't make as much sense on a small-ish device when you're talking about landscape for productivity.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever tried writing with a third-party keyboard on a 16x9 device, especially a small one, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It, you know, much easier to do that if it's 4x3, especially on a small tablet.
I'm curious why, and Google knows about 3:2, because, Phil, when you use the Pixel, that thing's perfect for... you know, looking at a Word document or browsing the web, that extra height that it gives you, the height to width ratio, I would have loved to see, if they're going to do it, if they're going to take away my widescreen format, go all the way and go to 3:2.
See, I had to open it up behind me over there.
Yeah, that's for a laptop, that's great. That's the perfect aspect ratio, in my opinion, but not so much for watching movies.
It's the BlackBerry passport of tablets.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be working wide on this thing.
Only shows Instagram pictures.
Really going there, huh?
But, I'm sure they have a reason. I don't think Google does anything without throwing tons of money at research to see exactly what they think they should do.
And I'm sure the OS and all the Google apps are going to look fantastic with the extra space.
Yep.
Here's a good question that I don't actually have the answer for. Any info on video output on the Nexus 6 and 9, SlimPort or MHL, and what about USB on the go?
You'll probably have USB on the go. There's no the hardware will support it, and I'm sure they're not going to take it away.
And I mean, their video out solution is Chromecast.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say you won't see hardware video out. But I think Andrew has a really something to think about there. For $35, you can have your video out. Is that enough for Google to take
geez,
away?
A good MHL cable costs $15 already.
Yeah, I mean, I get why some people want to use it. And, again, the shift to gaming is moving to in a direction that we're going to talk about in a minute. Scrolling down to the bottom here, trying to find some more. People can't hear Jerry. Phil didn't lock the camera on anyone.
Oh.
Thank you. Again, nobody...
Oh. I wish I could lock that camera.
We're on 4-3. We just lock it on the beard.
Jason Lee has a question about 4-3. He says, how are games going to scale to 4-3? I think that's probably the one area where you might run into more issues because there's a lot more that goes into being... coded natively and not necessarily going to respond properly to different aspect ratios.
I'm thinking you're going to see a lot of app not compatible in Google Play for a while.
It depends on how the game is coded. I mean, you can't say all games are going to necessarily fall victim to being having aspect ratio weirdness. The ones that are coded well and the ones that use the really great off-the-shelf middleware stuff should scale just perfectly well to 4x3. Yeah.
I don't know enough about the coding of that stuff. I mean, is that's something that potentially could have been in the SDK all this time, right?
You've
heard about it?
I'm sure there was something in the SDK to make it easy to do both, but you're also going to depend on, like Unreal. Is it?
I got to go and dig out my Optimus View and see what runs on that.
Yes. What runs on Gingerbread at 4.3?
Oh, it's Jelly Bean now. 4.1.
Really?
Yep.
You don't say.
So yeah, we'll have to see.
All right, now I think that's it on the Nexus 9. I'm excited for it. Can't wait to buy it.
Me too. I'm not real happy with the aspect ratio, and I think I've pretty much expressed that. But I'm really excited to have the future of Android hardware in my hands. And I think that's what it is.
So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will launch into the Nexus 6 and then the Nexus Player. Yeah. If you're an IT type in charge of your company's intranet, you need to take a look at Igloo. No more of those horrible internal web pages that don't look anything like what your company is actually worth. No more grumbling from employees that they can't get the thing to work. Put it this way, Igloo is an intranet you'll actually like. It's built with easy-to-use apps. It's got built-in file sharing. It's got blog support. It's got shared calendars, task management, and more. Really, Igloo has everything you need to work better together in one very configurable cloud platform. And with Igloo's responsive design, your new intranet will already handle a range of devices. It doesn't matter whether you're on Android phones or tablets, or an iPhone or iPad, or even if you're using an old-fashioned laptop computer. Igloo's responsive design means everything looks good from the start, whether you're at home, in the office, or on the go. And you can sign up now to start building your mobile-friendly Igloo. It's free to use with up to 10 of your favorite coworkers at igloosoftware.com/android. So do our little podcast and your employees a solid and go to igloosoftware.com/android. All right, we are back. Let's get into the next six, a.k.a. the Motorola X Gigantris.
Plus 0.8 inches.
Plus. Plus Pro, it's a big phone. I don't know how I feel about this.
Plus, what's minus?
We're pretty confident in saying that this is essentially a large Moto X with a different camera, right?
And wireless charging, but yeah, it's pretty much.
And no IR things in the front for crazy motion sensing.
Right. All right, that's it. We're done.
And a better dimple, it seems.
It's got a slightly better CPU. It's got the 805 in it, and it has another gigabyte of RAM. But those are two things you should not notice any difference.
We keep listing things that, so it's just the same, only different. You know, much larger battery, 3220 on the battery.
It's designed the same, but stretched out, which allows them to put more stuff in it.
It's my understanding that you're going to wish that battery was bigger.
Oh, quad HD display, and that's part of the reason why, right?
Yep.
Right. We can talk about that when we talk about the Note 4 as well.
Whoa.
Who's that? That's me. I'll shut it off. I thought it was off.
So 5.96 inches, 1440 by 2560, 493 PPI. This is, it's just ridiculous.
And that's not even, I mean, we're talking about in the realm of the Note 4 and the G3, which have dramatically higher PPIs.
But
it doesn't matter at that point.
Right. This is Google saying, hey, look, we're serious.
Oh, what?
You want big phones? We got big phones. You want something bigger, give you more real estate, do more things on. We know how to build them. Look at ours. It's pretty cool. But unfortunately, that leaves out all the people that say, hey, I don't want big phones.
Well, until we know what they're going to do with the Nexus 5.
But, dude, I want a new phone. I don't want an old phone.
Oh, you got a Moto X 2014. You're
So. I mean, this is the thing. The Moto X 2014 is pretty much the mini Nexus 6 of the year, isn't it? Especially if you're looking at how quickly it's probably going to get the L update.
With a few software changes, but yeah, that's the way I'm seeing it too. I think really the Nexus 6, not Nexus version, is going to be the Droid Turbo. It's, you know, in the middle on screen size, but it's still got a bigger battery. I don't think Verizon's going to trash that thing too much in the software, other than, hey, Moto X, Droid, zap me.
Zap zone. You can say, okay, Moto, zap zone these pics to my friends on Zap.
I stuck the camera on myself and nobody said a word. I'm just saying.
I have my camera locked on you all the time anyway.
Okay, Droid Turbo, zap fell.
Yeah.
13 megapixel rear camera. I mean, I know that's kind of the big question mark for all of us, especially since the Moto X camera is better, but still not blowing us out of the water. You gotta imagine this one's gonna be, I mean, everybody who has seen this thing so far is saying it's better, but I can't tell you how many times I've been in a room with a company and people who work for the company who says, this camera is great! And then you get it and you're just...
The Galaxy Nexus camera was the fastest and best thing that's ever hit imagery, right?
We'll have to see, but look, it's 13 plus OIS, which, even if it is the same sensor that's in the Moto X, the fact that it has that stabilization there that lets you hold the shutter open just a little bit longer, that should be a big deal, especially in low light.
And the new APIs.
It's going to come down to the software. You know, let's. I'm going to withhold any judgment until I see what Google's going to do with a lot of new camera and image processing stuff. In L is supposed to have been coming, but I'm afraid that if you buy the Droid Turbo made by Motorola and Verizon, and if you buy the Nexus 6, there's going to be wild differences in the camera. You know, and then maybe that was a bad example because that has different hardware. But there, the software is so important when it comes to taking a picture. I'll try to save myself.
Everyone's been asking about SKUs on this, and is it just going to be one, you know, North American version, one U.S. version, one for everybody else? Looking at what Google has put out, that's kind of what it looks like. I hesitate to say that just because things change, as we saw with the Moto X already, and I never did get an actual answer on that.
My inkling, let's use the word inkling, what I'm thinking here, one SKU for everybody, but Verizon, they have their own. That's what I'm under the impression of.
The interesting thing is that they show just a North America and a rest of world version, and the North America shows CDMA bands, but that doesn't necessarily mean there aren't two models. You know, one of which covers those CDMA bands, the other one doesn't. But
if you don't, man, I don't want to sound like I'm trashing Verizon guys because I'm not. There's plenty of time for that, but this is not the time. Verizon needs to be able to control which devices can and cannot be activated on their network. That means they either have to allow every North American phone to come and freely swap on and off, or they have to have their own SKU. I'm under the impression that they're going to have their own SKU, the same exact phone, but they'll have a list of IMEIs that are allowed to work on their network. I think thanks, but...
The question isn't so much the SKUs, but how we're going to avoid the issues you had last time with the Verizon Galaxy Nexus. Are they going to keep control of the software as well? Are Verizon people going to be waiting an extra month or two?
I don't have any answer on that.
I don't think there's that many people that need to hot swap their SIM between Sprint, Verizon, and T-Mobile.
No, that's not the point.
That's not the point.
Yeah, so you've got to imagine that if Google wanted to get in with Verizon this time around, that would have been something they specifically want to avoid, the pain points for people on the Verizon Galaxy Nexus all those years ago.
If what I'm hearing is correct and they are the same exact models, the only difference is the way Verizon tracks the IMEI, that would mean Verizon doesn't have any unnecessary software installed on the phone and shouldn't have any say over the updates other than the few network configuration files that they'll need to add.
Right. We talked a bit about this with the Nexus 5 and Sprint and how they handled that, you know, pushing
that was beautiful.
Very, very small changes, and you could use the phone on either carrier, no problem.
That allowed Google to control the software and Sprint to control the network software independently, and it was beautiful.
Wi-Fi calling on T-Mobile was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and they're kind of hedging their bets on that by saying it's via an OTA update in the beginning of 2015. So we don't know how that's going to be handled either. Is that going to be something that's baked into the Nexus 6 software and every Nexus 6 is going to get an update, or if they're going to do it based on the SIM you have in there or what? But either way, having native T-Mobile Wi-Fi calling is a huge deal.
If it adds something extra that's substantial and T-Mobile's in control of it, you're going to hear me complain and yell at T-Mobile and Google just like I did over the Verizon Nexus. Doesn't make it less of a Nexus. It just makes it, look, you didn't see this ahead of time when you made this scheme. You're wrong.
And it brings us back to the question we ask every year around this time, which is, what does Nexus mean now? What does it mean anymore? And it's shifted again in the past 12 months, especially now that we have U.S. carriers on board and we have people are able to buy it through the much more through traditional carrier infrastructure, right? So be able to buy it on contract on all four and US Cellular as well.
That's still crazy. Like, I've been thinking about it the past night, and how is this not just another phone at this point? I'm trying to be positive about it, but
If it is just another phone at this point, is that necessarily a bad thing? Because you're sidestepping a lot of the nonsense you have to deal with in previous years.
But theoretically.
But yeah. It's also another phone that's developer friendly. And whether you want to scream about the price or not, it's still $175 to $200 cheaper than the equivalent, just like the Nexus 5 was. Yeah, granted, $399 to $600 is a big jump, but it's still $200 cheaper than a Note 4 or a 6 Plus. That's something. I don't know what exactly that is, but that, you know, if you're a developer, it still might be the phone for you. You could save a little money, and you don't have to monkey with the software because it's pure Google. I don't know.
I mean, if anything, it's even if it's just another phone or whatever, the fact that it's going to be on sale from major carriers plus unlocked from retailers right at the same time is something that we've talked about a lot. You know, we praised HTC when they did the unlocked North America model without all the bloat that you could just buy. I mean, that's still a big step. Maybe it's not a world changer, but the fact that it's going to be, you know, out there from whatever way you want to buy it is a big deal.
Here's what I think it is, and I think it's just really simple. Everyone wants large phones. We're going to make this really big phone. It was pretty evident early on that Apple was going to have these really big phones in the 6 Plus. So they wanted something to compete with that. And then they said, all right, what can we do? What can we do to get this into as many hands as possible? And the answer to that is we've got to work with the carriers. And that's a big deal, you know, that they actually were able to work with the carriers and get something that both sides were able to agree on. Maybe that's a sea change on Google's part. As you see executives come and go, it's no longer, no, we're only going to sell this in Google Play, and that's it. It's, you know, then you get a little beyond the, all right, well, T-Mobile can sell it in the stores, but we'll still ship, you know, whatever. And now it's just, okay, it's a Nexus phone, but it's going to be available everywhere to everyone in the same subsidized manner that they're used to. We don't necessarily like the subsidies. We don't like not selling it unlocked, but that's something we have to compromise on to get our implementation of Android into more hands in front of more eyeballs.
But what if that's not the case and Google has wanted to work with the carriers all along and the carriers said, you sold 80,000 of these last year? We don't care. Go away. And now the carriers want to work. I mean, there's a lot there that we're just guessing at, but
go ahead, Jerry.
Sorry. I see this as a good thing. I'm sure if the carriers were out of the picture, the price may be even $100 cheaper. The carriers don't want Google to say, hey, you can buy it from us for $300 or buy it from your carrier for $2,900 after the cost of your contract. But this is going to get the phone that some people have been wanting available to them. That's a good thing.
I think that the problem, I mean, sure, so they talk to the carriers and then the price has to come up to be at parity with other things based on how the carriers want to price things. But then we get outside of the U.S. where somebody who lives in India doesn't care that Verizon wanted the price to be $649, and now this price is $649 in like 60 different countries that they go to sell the Nexus, and that's really annoying when the Nexus 5 was $399 to everybody, or you know, local equivalent currency.
And I don't think the carriers are the sole reason for that. It's got to come down to the phone will have been designed with this price point in mind. It will have been there from the beginning.
We have seen this issue play out before, and it was entirely 100% the carriers, and that was the Galaxy Nexus. Verizon had it exclusive X number of months. Was it 60 days? It was $649. At the end of that 60 days, boom, $399. I don't know what that means, but that has to mean something.
I mean, look, Verizon has no say in what Samsung sells in the UK, and Samsung was selling a lot of money in the UK.
Well, they still did. Did it ever go down to fire sale prices in the
UK? I don't even remember. I think it wasn't quite as cheap as it was in the US, but I think they eventually knocked it down when it landed on the Play Store.
So I don't know what's going on. I do think the price is a little high, but I don't see the outrage that a lot of people have because it's $200 cheaper than an equivalent phone, just like the Nexus 5 was.
It's high, right? I don't think it's as high as it seems compared to other equivalent models. It's just a lot higher than the Nexus 5.
Right.
But the Nexus 5 was a lot lower than everything else when it came out. So I think you kind of split the difference somewhere. I don't think that anybody would be saying anything if it was $499 or $549.
But if it was $499, it would be... It would be $400 cheaper than the equivalent phone, and that didn't happen. It's what makes it so bad is we went from 1 year having one of the cheapest phones you could buy to this year. Well, this phone costs as much or more than some others, but it's also a whole lot bigger and in a different price category. It's still the cheapest in its price category.
And you still have some of the cheapest phones out there that are still really good, will still get updates quickly.
Yeah. If this is out of your price class and you want something a little bigger, look at a OnePlus. You know, company antics aside, there's nothing wrong with that phone.
I tell you, I spent easily the weekend, a little longer than that, not as long as I wanted to, on the OnePlus. And, you know, I have some physical issues with the phone, but there's a lot to like there. A lot to like there. They just need to sell it.
And the flip side of that, we can't ignore either. If money is not the burning deciding factor, don't forget to look at the Note 4 or other, because the Note 4 offers a little bit more, maybe, than a bare-bones stock Nexus big phone. So you've got some decisions to make.
And this is the thing I was saying today in the write-up that I did, that for starters, this free, you know, the new price point, having a Nexus is designed around a $649 kind of area, frees up Google to say, right, we're not going to be constrained by economics or anything, we're just going to make a really good high-end phone. But at the same time, it means they have to compete because they are pricing themselves in the same range, you know, even if it is towards the lower end of that, as the iPhone 6 Plus and the Note 4.
Right. I mean, most complaints about the Nexus 5 were completely put to rest by its $349, like, quick complaining.
And that was kind of a cop. I mean, maybe it was a cop-out, maybe it wasn't, but it was certainly used to excuse things like, you know, Nexus is not having cameras that were so great, or battery life not being where we'd want it to be, or, you know, it basically just being a bit of plastic with a screen on the front. Whereas now you have this really nice looking metal thing. Maybe it's going to be too large for a lot of people, but it is a nice looking phone.
I'm seeing people say, you know, for $650, it better have a great camera. Well, it's not any more expensive than, you know, the regular Moto X is, guys. That's about what I paid for the unlocked one. So, quick charging comes with that, by the way. I happen to get the Motorola turbocharger. Sunday. That came today. Can't really, I mean, you can charge things with it. I don't have any devices that are
you dead don't enough say. Yet.
Can you charge a Tesla with it?
You know, you might be able to. I don't have anything that's dead enough yet.
It's not a supercharger.
I'm trying to kill my Moto X so we can see if it really charges up to 8. I want to know what 8 hours of use is my question.
Right. That's what I liked about the Samsung fast charging was they said that a percentage. They said it'll get 50% in 30 minutes, you know, not 8 hours of use, because they talk about, you know, turning on ultra power saving mode and getting a day of use out of 10% battery. So, you know, what the heck can that mean?
If I were to guess, Motorola says that you'll get a day out of the battery. That's 24 hours. 8 hours is your battery's going to charge by a third in a few minutes. If that's the way they did it, you couldn't call them on it. That's by the numbers. But I'm also worried that, you know, 8 hours use means 7.5 hours in your pocket not doing anything.
Let's go through some Q&A. Will Google and LG update the Nexus 5 with new internals, or will there be another smaller Nexus 5 Plus next year?
I think that's a waste of time to upgrade the previous phone and new internals.
Yeah, this probably won't go just to the straight Nexus 5 and redo it. I think if we do see another Nexus or another Nexus-style device that's sold maybe in the same way that Google is doing now in the main with the main U.S. carriers, I don't think they're just going to stick to six-inch devices. That makes no sense. Eventually, there is going to have to be something that's smaller that either has Nexus slapped on the back or that is basically a Nexus that ticks many of the same boxes.
Right, but I think...
That's just the word I'm avoiding saying there, Phil.
I just think if they're going to take time re-architecting a device from the inside out, you might as well just make a new device in the smaller form factor.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys think that we will be seeing any of the special Moto features, such as Moto Voice, on the Nexus 6?
No.
No.
Yeah, no.
Through hackery, maybe. But
that's always possible, but I don't think...
It doesn't have the sensors on the front for the swipe over, hover thing, does it?
The Moto X has two undocumented microprocessors inside.
But I mean, you need the sensors on the front of the phone to enable some of that stuff, don't you?
You also need the microprocessors inside to compute it. Why they're undocumented, I don't know. And I think it's Ars Technica has a, or no, it's Anantec has a little more in depth on that. They're in there, and I've seen them in the software, but we don't know exactly what they're doing. I hope the Nexus 6 has something similar. You know, if Motorola built it, maybe they were smart and threw something in there that Google can use in the future. But they're a different phone. They may look and feel similar, but they're a little bit different.
And that's just not a Nexus-y thing if you get back to the
the
software.
Your Nexus is okay, Google Now. That's what you get with your Nexus, and that's what you should expect with your Nexus.
I just want to read this out loud to hear myself say it. Andrew asks, what issues do you see surrounding the Nexus 6 on Verizon? Is this the Galaxy Nexus all over again, or can I learn to love? We'll see.
I think everybody wanted it so bad, and then unless it's the exact same, everybody's going to complain.
I mean, look, guys, Apple can do it. Apple's been able to do it for a few years. The past 2 years, Motorola can do it. Google can do it. They can say, okay, Verizon, you've got a few configuration files you need to change here. Let's get on the ball, get everything else ready. Let's get together, let's do this, and make it happen in a timely manner. Other companies can. If they can't do it, we can't blame Verizon 100% anymore, because if Motorola and not, you know, I know Google still owns them, whatever. Motorola's bleeding money, but they can find a way to get timely updates on their basic stock devices on Verizon, then so can Google.
Benton says, what's your take on the Nexus 6 charging a premium compared to the 4 and 5? It's more expensive. I mean, not much else to say. Either pay it or get a different phone, I guess. I mean, it's really not any more expensive than other phones. It's just we were spoiled for a long time. I mean, ask Alex what it's like to buy a phone.
Yeah. Expensive.
Well said.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to work out what you actually meant there, Phil. I mean, over here we've pretty much had unlocked devices forever, but you do pay a premium for it. The Note 4, for example, goes on sale today. I think it's like £630, which is a lot in US dollars.
You can buy a house for that here where I live.
But yeah, I mean, There's freedom being able to just pay up front and getting it on whatever carrier you want, but it's also a little bit pricey.
Christopher wants to know, why do you think the vast majority of the tech press prefers smaller phones while the plus size segment is the fastest growing segment of mobile? What can I say? The rest of you are wrong.
Thanks for reading that question, because where do we see that it's the fastest growing segment of mobile? Please show me that.
I mean, and obviously,
fastest growing is, I mean, if something's really small, it's easy to be faster growing.
Let's look at it this way. Samsung sells three times as many Galaxy S5s as they do Note 3s. I'm not talking about anybody's choice. I'm glad you can have what you want, but that doesn't mean everybody wants it.
It really
Samsung isn't going to stop its Galaxy S line to only sell 5.7 plus inch notes.
In the past week, I've gone from the Moto X to the M8 to the G3 a little bit. I'm looking at all the phones right here, to the OnePlus, and it's funny. I mean, none of those is a small phone, but it really is funny how some of them just feel so much different in the hand than the others. And you really have so many options out there. So.
And if that's the best part, is that the options are... And now Nexus is one of those options.
I get that there's data out there that disagrees with me. But yeah, there are options. So if I don't want this giant Nexus 6, and you know what? I might not like it. It's okay.
Right. I don't like
the... I said it's okay, everybody drink.
Well, I don't like the... analysts claim that, you know, 5.5 plus inch devices are the fastest growing segment ever. So, you know, you just need to learn how to deal with having a phone that you can't hold in one hand comfortably. It's like, no, that's not really the case. Just because some people are starting to, you know, be okay with the trade-offs of a larger device, and manufacturers understand they're leaving money on the table by not making those phones, doesn't mean that that's all of a sudden, you know, the only acceptable size of phone.
You know, I can turn that argument against people. Now that the Nexus is so big, the only company that offers me a choice of an unbloated phone that's not a huge size is Apple, because I can still buy a 5S. Apple offers choice, Android doesn't. Arguments can be twisted to mean anything.
So I'm going to throw a Moto G at you if you say that again.
Is that on Verizon? Yeah, that is on Verizon. So
Moto G is 5 inches now, though.
See? But there's, we all want different things. I like small phones because I'm an old man, not because I write stories for a tech blog. I like a phone that fits in my shirt pocket. I'm your grandfather who goes out and fiddles around on the sidewalk, and I carry my jitterbug phone in my shirt pocket.
I'm using yet another phone that doesn't fit in the cup holder of my car. Now, I guess the answer to that is, you know, keep it in your pocket. But if you're navigating somewhere, I like to put it in the in the cup holder. And, you know, the OnePlus doesn't fit in there. The G3 doesn't fit in there. I'm using another phone that doesn't fit in there. It's just, I want a phone that fits there. And, you know, it's tough to find. Let's see. Different Christopher says, I think that the Nexus 6 being on all the carriers is a bigger deal than nearly anything. I think Google is trying to get its vision of Android to more people, and the previous unlocked way was not the way. What do you guys think? I think he's right.
I think the world is a lot larger than the U.S. and four carriers. And the Nexus was already, you know, the previous Nexus could already work on three of those four carriers and was... I think the Nexus 5 being available for $349 and working on three of the four carriers is more important than $649 and available on all four.
I mean, working on three carriers is a lot different to being in the stores of those four carriers and available on
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. My point being the difference in price. So it's $349 that you can buy and work on three carriers, or $649 available from all four. Now, we don't know what the on-contract price is, but the money's coming out of your pocket either way.
It's going to be somewhere north of $200, you expect, right?
And it just goes back to my original point at the start of that was that doesn't – I mean, it's a big world out there. And talking about expanding Android to more users – has nothing to do with the 100 million people on Verizon, of which a very small subset will be buying a Nexus 6.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. A very small subset if it wasn't in carrier stores, maybe. But if they have, that's a whole lot of people that are going to be seeing the Nexus on shelves next to the Note 4 and the iPhone 6 Plus that wouldn't be seeing it otherwise.
I think.
I mean, how many millions of people do you think are going to buy it on Verizon? Not multiple millions.
A lot more than what if it was just a lot. Sorry, go ahead, Jerry.
I was telling Andrew, I think he's going to be surprised.
My point being, so even if they sell 3 million Nexus 6s on Verizon, what does that even matter for the expansion of Android in the global scene?
For Android as a whole, maybe not so much. I think in terms of Google's control over Android and getting... You know, if they're pouring all this money into having material design, to having that as the face of not just Android but a lot of Google properties, then having that unblemished on a phone in front of people that you can buy on contract and that millions of people probably will buy on contract is a big deal for them.
I think maybe it goes back to a few other things they've said this year, and that is, here's this thing, whether it's design, whether it's our vision of Android, and now we mean it. Now we're going to do what we really have to do.
Right. This is Android. In front of people. This is Android Silver. That's what Android Silver was. It wasn't about changing a name. It was about getting phones out to people and making it more accessible and mostly focused here in the United States. We don't have the luxury of overpaying for phones like Alex does, but our overpaid phone is actually ours, and we can take it and go anywhere we want with it. That's... You know, me saying this is Android Silver, this is what I think. It's not like somebody from Google is sending me a press release. But I'm going to disagree with Andrew a little bit, and I think this is pretty important, and I'm siding with Christopher that, especially when I saw U.S. Cellular there, I'm like, damn, Google's serious. You know, that's the rest, the other big four, that's easy. You know, Google wants you to be able to walk into a Sprint store and buy a Nexus or a T-Mobile or AT&T. But U.S. Cellular, somebody had to actually do some work to get together with U.S. Cellular and say, hey, why don't you sell our Nexus phone? So,
I mean, I think it's important from a wider strategy standpoint. I still think that you're overselling the importance of one device coming to four carriers in one country in the world.
But it's one device in 2015. Who's to say how many it'll be in 2017?
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you on the strategy point. I don't agree on the single device. Motorola is going to sell five times as many Moto E's and Moto G's around the world as they are in four carriers in the U.S.
But I'm going to be really interested to see if in 6, 7, 8 months' time, if the Nexus 6 is the only Google Nexus phone that you can go out and buy and contract on the U.S. carrier. Wouldn't it be interesting if there was maybe a revamped, smaller Nexus phone in the works? Who knows? And especially with these rumors of silver, whether or not that happens. It certainly looks like Google's aim is to do what it was rumored to be doing with silver, which is to get a foot in the door of the U.S. carrier system.
And when I walk into the AT&T store, I'll see the iPhone 6 Plus, the Galaxy Note 4, maybe something from Huawei that's bigger, and the Nexus 6 in their little big phone section. One of them's going to be free on contract in a month or two, and that's going to be the Nexus. That's going to get a Nexus into more hands. It's cheaper. It's physically cheaper. Google can afford to make less profit off of AT&T, which makes AT&T happy. AT&T can knock that price down that you pay up front. I think that's important.
Yep.
I'm going to move on from the carrier stuff because we do have a lot of talked about. Did Jerry want to spill the secret he was itching to tell us last week but couldn't?
No, we can't. Sorry.
That's why they're secrets.
But, you know, these are people we talk to, people we like, friends of ours that know things and helps us prepare better for what's to come, and we just can't throw them out there.
There's another one asking what secrets I'm holding right now. I can't tell you. Then it wouldn't be a secret.
The secrets of the parking lot outside.
Just flipping through the Q&A again 1 second before we go. Nope, let's go to the Galaxy Player. So Chromecast
Nexus
still
the Nexus Player.
I hope somebody gifts that. Phil freaks out. Knew I was gonna do it. The Nexus Player. So think of it like a big. Somebody said, "Is it a squashed down Nexus Q? Is my Q still back there?" There it is.
You know, it looks a lot like the Nexus Q when it's in that sort of flattened. The picture you see when you go to google.com/Nexus, it looks kind of like a Q.
So basically what we have here is sort of the Android TV box, right, Jerry?
Yeah, I mean, it's an Android. It's the, you know, developer. God, I hate that word now.
Yeah.
It's the platform specimen for Android TV.
But it's different than what we saw at I.O., right?
Right. What they handed out at I.O. was different hardware, but that was a developer preview for developers only. That was a real Nexus.
So this is Atom powered, quad core, 1.8 gigahertz, 8 gigabytes of onboard storage, 1 gigabyte of RAM, 802.11 AC.
Which, again, Jerry talked about the importance to think about the way that the RAM and the CPU are going to work together here. Being an Intel CPU, maybe it's not the end of the world that has 1 gig of RAM instead of 2, like something like the Fire TV.
Right. This is an Intel 64-bit CPU that you'd find in a laptop, not on your phone.
Worth mentioning that it is 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. Chromecast was only 2.4, though I think I saw some posts today saying a possible 5 gigahertz version was going through the FCC. That's a big deal because there's no Ethernet port here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have spent $20 more if they had to charge me that to stick an Ethernet port in it.
Maybe there wasn't room.
Yeah. Well, it's on the Fire TV, and I've never touched it. So.
I think I'm using it with my Fire TV. So that's the interesting question. I'm now going to have a Fire TV and this other box, whereas the Chromecast I have in my living room is just tucked away in the amplifier itself and out of the way.
With how small this thing is, I would really like a little sticky mount you stick it on the back of your TV with.
Something, yeah. It looks nice. I like the look of it.
So if you've got a 3D printer out there, you've got a market.
Easier to stick in your entertainment center than the Nexus Q.
Made by Asus, it's got a little remote control that is actually very reminiscent of what the Fire TV uses.
Which is fine. I think the Fire TV one's great.
And the Asus Cube. The more I see it, the more... The one on the Cube is a little more complicated because Google TV needed more buttons than Android TV does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same basic design. You talk to it, same kind of thing.
And with Android TV, you can always use your phone to control it as well, right?
Right.
Or your
right.
watch.
Or your watch.
Oh, jeez.
And coming next year, your mind.
So you can stream to it just like you can. I mean, how long before Google Glass does it, right? You can stream to it, you know, like you normally can from a Chromecast, so you can fire, you know, YouTube over there. You know, it doesn't fire it over there. It initiates the playback, right?
Which is the cool thing. Well, wait, no. We're talking about $100 versus $35, and it includes a Chromecast functionality.
This isn't just a Chromecast. This is a standalone Android device that will connect to the internet. And you
I was getting there.
All right, I'll shut up.
So it does that Chromecast functionality, but this is Android TV on top of that, right?
Right. You log in with your account. So I'm excited, man. I've been wanting to mess with this. I'm even going to buy a new receiver so I don't have to unplug something.
I just think it's going to be a way better choice for... I mean, there's a lot of people that like the Chromecast, but we're happy to spend more than $35 on something that, you know, was going to do a little more. And now this means that you don't have to have your Chromecast anymore taking up an HDMI. You just have this one box. You can use it, you know, I think of the case of I can use it with my phone to cast things. Also, somebody else could just pick up the remote and do their own thing with it too. It's not necessarily tied to my phone or tied to another phone.
$99. The game controller is $40. They say it does come with $20 in Google Play Store credit.
There you go. Now you're talking $80.
It's not bad.
I expect big things here. I expect to see games. Games is the big thing. Android's getting better at handling, you know, console-style gaming. And now you've got a console to play them on. So if you're a developer out there, there's a market you can tap.
Particularly if Google Play Games gets up to speed and you can save your game states between your Android TV device and your phone.
Yep,
I mean, Jerry, what do you think of the fact that this is an Android TV device? We had the previous ADT thing at I.O., which was an NVIDIA device. What do you think now we have this consumer-facing thing, this thing where you can actually buy a gamepad for that's Intel and PowerVR, not NVIDIA?
That threw me for a loop. You gave the developers all one platform to develop for and said, go build great things, and then you throw out a completely different set of architecture that you're going to have to change everything you wrote.
And Tegra was not a small part of I.O., was it?
You
got some Epic Games there with the Unreal Engine 4 demo, a bunch of other developers and publishers.
I do not know what happened there and why this unit for sale doesn't have, you know, what we saw at Google I.O.
I mean, is it to cover all bases since... You know, devices from other OEMs are going to be coming with both.
Right. We need an Intel-powered Android TV, just like we need an Intel-powered Android tablet and phone. Because, you know, and I mean developers when I say we, none of us. Because they're out there. And you know, Lenovo is going to continue to make tablets that have an Intel Atom in them. And somebody somewhere is going to make Android TV boxes that have every type of CPU you can imagine in it. I'm a little curious why they were here. This is great. Develop with it. This is, you know, the Tegra platform. It gives you all these extensions. Here's your native development kit. Go, 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 go. And then, oh, but snap, dude, the one we're releasing, yeah, none of that extra stuff you were learning to develop for is going to work. I don't know what happened. In the long run, it can be a good thing. That's going to have the developers be able to release one that works on both ARM and Intel and with and without Tegra enhancements all at once.
Well, that's the thing is the Nexus Player came out of left field for everybody. Nobody had any idea this was coming out. So
I love that it didn't leak. I love that it didn't leak. I think that's very important.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm the only one apparently.
Nope. You know what I think.
I also think it's worth mentioning that you can do voice stuff with the remote control, just like you can the Amazon one, which is pretty cool.
And it's from what I see, it's Google Now, isn't it? It's Google Now like on your phone.
When I'm looking through the specs to see if there's anything else that stands out. Not really. It's not micro USB powered.
Nope. Oh. Just power brick or power cable, just like the Amazon TV is like that.
So, I mean, we've got a couple weeks before we really start getting our hands on any of this stuff, I guess, before it's available.
We've got new images for the Nexus 5 tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much that changes.
I mean, we can second guess that all we want, but we'll see tomorrow how much new stuff is actually in there and how close it is to what we saw on the Nexus 6 in the previews yesterday.
Looking through the Q&A again. Dun, 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 dun. No, not a whole lot of Nexus Player questions. I mean, I think the Nexus Player out of the three things is kind of the most understood one, even though nobody has really used Android TV yet outside of those dev boxes.
Okay, and you know what, Phil? You and I have played with Android TV a little bit.
Very briefly, yes.
There are, what, 2,000-3,000 people out there that have the ATD boxes, and they've been playing with it. This is probably the best $150 you can spend to buy an Android TV box and a controller if you want more than the Chromecast can offer. Don't be afraid thinking that it's not worth $150. If this is tech that you want to play with, it's worth $150.
It's funny. There's only so much I do with the Fire TV, and really that's just for watching movies on Amazon. And there are a few games on there my kids play, but I have a feeling my kids will play pretty much the same games on this. Yeah, I'm still very perfectly happy with Chromecast and what it does.
Chromecast is nice and easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know my problem with Chromecast? I can only play Google Play Music from one phone that's active since the rest can't freaking use it.
Well, we didn't mention this, but a few weeks back we had a situation where in the app, they kind of unlocked the limit on deactivations, right? So you're still limited to five phones and 10 devices total.
But that was on a Thursday, and by the time I read it, it wasn't working anymore.
It's still working.
Oh, well, okay.
It's still working in the app. You can, I mean, I've deactivated countless ones since then.
I'll deactivate.
I think the web interface is still a bit weird. Like, it still tells you there's a limit on it. But it's still completely unlimited deactivations in the app. And you would think after a couple of weeks, if Google really wanted to plug that hole, they would have done it already. So I don't know what's going on.
Good. I'll have to do it from a phone then and deactivate everything.
Again, we still don't know why or if it's how long that's going to be a thing for. It could disappear tomorrow. But every day that it's still there is promising.
Cool.
I have like 16 things ringing on my desk right now. And it's ringing in my ears. I don't know who that is. I should. Let's see. I've got the computer.
Google tablet, Voice.
One, two, three phones and a watch. I think, oh, yeah, the Chromebook Pixel woke up back there, too. That's pretty impressive.
Todd in the Q&A wants me to compare the Asus Cube to the player. Dude, I still use the Asus Cube every play, right? Every day right here behind me. Sure. Sure, I'll plug them both in and do a little side-by-side for you. Look for that on the blog when it becomes available.
Anything else we can kind of add to this? I mean, there's a whole lot coming. Hey, by the way, our Note 4 review went up yesterday. Andrew did a nice job on that for what it's worth. What are you doing?
And then it was completely squashed by lots of shiny things.
Sorry.
Well, you know, Samsung had to know this. When they said when we were allowed to post reviews for their big new phone.
I mean, look, we knew it, so
yeah,
Samsung knew.
I would have thought they would have said, you know what, why don't you move that date back a day and do it the day before instead.
But, right, especially considering that they were arriving to people who pre-ordered them, to say nothing of the fact that you can buy it internationally in the last week.
I just want to say that, Andrew, you're I think Alex does the best reviews in tech. Yours is right up there with it, and it actually makes me want to try this phone even more. So on a personal note, good job, man. Really good job.
I appreciate that. It was. It ended up being a long one.
It deserved a long one.
I need to read this email. You guys are so great, right, Scary? I've been in an Android for several years now. Kind of a Google fanboy, I guess you can say. Even had the original G1 from T-Mobile. Using the Galaxy S5 now. We've come a long way. Anyways, I'm rambling. I've come here to say is you guys do an amazing job on this podcast. I cannot believe that I haven't listened to you guys sooner. I guess I was worried that there was not too much you could possibly talk about on an Android podcast, but you keep me very entertained. Awesome. At some points, you even make me laugh. Started on episode 205. Going to continue as long as you guys are there. Thanks for doing such a good job.
Cool.
Nice.
Oh, by the way, we had a big Droid Turbo leak this week. I mean, not too much we didn't know. We got a lot of specs out of it. Go check that out if you haven't already.
Got Zap Zone out of it.
Zap Zone.
Pew, 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 pew. Give up on that.
Got a big old 3,900 milliamp hour battery, right?
When it first came out, what did you call it, Andrew? Droid Kill or something?
Yeah, Droid. It's going to be the next iteration. They were just going to keep going more industrial with it.
And we are still waiting on news about Android Wear because we know big updates are coming to that. We're still, Android Auto is still out there. I get that that's a whole different thing.
And every time I get a chance, I'm going to say it. Google, don't forget you talked about standalone replacement head units for Android Auto. You mentioned it. That means you have to bring us some.
Super important.
Hard to impulse buy a $35,000 car.
Right. But I am a fanboy. I will spend, you know, $600, $700, $800 on a head unit. So you got at least one sale.
And we were having a look at some of them at CES, I think NVIDIA and I forget who it was, but certainly that's the sort of thing people are looking into.
Yep.
Even outside of Android Auto.
Alright, anything else? Should we wrap it up? Should we stick a fork in it? We will have more stuff next week, I promise.
Yep.
Keep us going.
Alright, if you want, you can email us podcast@androidcentral.com. Or if you want, just show up live and ask questions, because that's pretty awesome as well.
And it looks like Google Play has 99 games for 99 cents each, so I've got to go spend some money.
Yep.
Holy crap.
You can find us all when we're not buying 99-cent games on Google Plus and Twitter and Instagram and all those places. Search our names, find us, ask us questions, say hi. As we are every week, we're brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. You can call it 888-468-6158, or just go to ShopAndroid.com. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you. Everybody at home, thank you. Big, exciting week. I'm excited. Everybody is excited.
Good time to be an Android fan.
Very good time. And I mean, there's still a lot of stuff coming in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. And we will be back next week, probably on our normal day of Friday. Thanks for coming in early on Thursday this week.
Toodles.
Bye-bye. See you later.
That special Nexus edition of the Android Central podcast was brought to you by Igloo and Igloo Software. Want to build an intranet your employees will actually want to use? Visit igloosoftware.com/android.